Six on ABC Radio.
Now, do you have any idea what the recommended level of salt intake per day is? Have a bit of a think. How much salt do you put on your food at dinner or at lunch or maybe at breakfast? 5 grams. That's what we're recommended to consume every day, and that equates to around about a teaspoon of salt a day. Do you think that's a lot? I don't know. I think that's actually quite a lot. The latest research has found, though, that we actually eat almost double the amount of salt that we should be here in Australia. It's not just what we do sprinkle on the food out of the salt shaker, of course. It's also how much salt is hidden in a lot of the foods we eat, and it is usually the processed foods that we consume as well. So a new study has been done to really drill down on this, and we're joined this morning by a co-author of it, Dr. Jackie Webster, who is the director of the WHO Collaborating Centre on Salt Reduction at the George Institute for Global Health. So salt is very much her domain. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Deborah.
So tell us first up about the research. How did you come up with the finding that Australians are eating around about double what we should be?
Well, the research was done in Lithgow, New South Wales, and what it did was it measured the salt intake of the population of New South Wales using two methods. One, it used the dietary survey methods, which asks people to report how much food they're eating and then quantifies that using food composition data. And then secondly, we measured their actual salt in excretion by testing the amount of sodium in urine.
And how different was what they thought they were eating compared to what they actually were?
And this was the interesting findings. We found out that actually people were eating almost a third more salt than they thought they were eating. So measured through dietary survey, it was just over 6 grams. And then when we actually measured it from the salt in the urine, then it was closer to 10 grams.
And how many residents did you involve in this study?
So there was just over 400 residents in this study, but what's really important about the study here is that we then used this to estimate salt intake based on the Australian Health Survey. So by looking at the difference between what salt intake is when it's measured through a dietary survey and then the measured salt intake, and then comparing that with the Australian Health Survey, which just measured salt, then we can fairly conclusively say that the salt intake of the national population is likely to be around that amount as well. So people in Australia are likely to be eating around 10 grams of salt a day.
And what are the health implications of that?
So eating too much salt increases people's blood pressure, and blood pressure is one of the biggest contributors to premature death and disease from cardiovascular disease and stroke in Australia and also around the world, and that's why reducing salt is so important.
Yeah, it's crucial, isn't it? So were you surprised by the survey's findings, by the fact that there was such a discrepancy between what people thought they were eating and then what they actually were?
We suspected there was a difference, but I think we were surprised by just how much it was. And I think it's really important that we've now got this, you know, nationally representative data and a clear estimation of how much salt people are eating. What the research also showed, though, and I think what's really useful is where that salt was coming from. So using the dietary survey data, we can show that people are getting a lot of their salt from bread, from cereal products, from processed meats, and from soups and sauces. So these are the types of things that people need to be careful about eating too much of. But also, these are the things that we need the food industry to reduce salt in.
So hidden salt, in a sense. So that would, I suppose, make that the memories aren't too bad. People just didn't realise they were eating that much.
That's right. So I think people just don't realise they're eating that much and tend to underestimate what they are eating, and they tend to not realise. For example, when they're eating bread, it's not a high salt food, but if you eat a lot of bread, then it contributes significantly to your salt intake. And likewise, if you're using salty sauces such as soy sauce and chili sauce, then that's also adding up people's salt intake.
So, what's your advice then to us as consumers? Obviously, trying to get a gauge of what the salt level is in the foods we're eating, how do we do that?
So my advice to people is always, first and foremost, to increase your consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables, and fresh meats, and reduced processed foods. That's the most effective way of reducing your salt intake. But you can't reduce processed foods altogether. And if you are eating processed foods, even minimally processed foods like bread and cheese, then you need to be looking at making sure you're choosing the lowest salt content. Mm.
And the people that were in this survey, were they also adding salt to their cooking or sprinkling it on their food? Were they also adding salt to their diet in that form?
That's right. And also work that we've done to assess consumer behaviour suggests that people are still adding some salt to their diet. However, that's a small percentage. It's probably between about 5 and 10% of the total salt intake. Mm. So people do need to reduce what they're adding, but that in itself isn't going to be enough. They also need to reduce and watch out for the hidden salt in processed foods.
I suppose it is one of those things when you quantify it, when you say 5 grams, about a teaspoon, if you're putting double that on, you can understand that you would be questioning, scratching your head, thinking, well, how am I getting this salt? Did you go back to these people who you surveyed and actually give them help directly?
We did feedback the results of the survey.
Were they
the
surprised?
Participants in the survey. We didn't see their reactions, but I suspect that people were surprised. And we like to think that this sort of information then, you know, supports people to think about making sure they make healthier choices. But we also know that it's quite hard to change consumer behavior. Mm. We want everybody to try, but we also know that we need to reduce salt in the food environment. And primarily that means the food companies reducing salt in processed foods and meals. But there's also work we can do, for example, in schools and hospitals and the workplace to make sure that we have healthy eating environments in those situations as well. Mm. So it makes it much easier for people to make healthier food choices.
Speaking with lead researcher on this salt survey, Professor Jackie Webster from the George Institute, with some surprising findings on the amount of salt that we consume. It's 14 minutes past 10 here on ABC Radio Mornings. Interesting text that we've just gotten through as well, Jackie, saying, there's no name to this text, but saying, if you'd watched Trust Me, I'm a Doctor, you would have heard how salt as a health measure is now in doubt as the quality of the research all those years ago is under suspicion. Is there any verification to that?
Listen, we do see occasional controversial reports that question the evidence about salt, and this is the same for most issues. And I think it's what is important to do is always come back to the totality of the evidence. And recently, the World Health Organization and other organizations have done comprehensive, systematic reviews of quality evidence, and without doubt, they conclude that eating too much salt increases blood pressure, and we know that increased blood pressure is one of the biggest contributors to premature death from heart disease and stroke. Mm. So I think whilst there are occasional studies doubting that, if we look at the totality of the evidence, it's very clear. And consumers shouldn't change their behaviour, and they should be focusing on making sure that they eat as healthy a diet as they can. And going back to my primary advice, this is increasing in fresh fruit and vegetables and reducing processed foods. And if you do that, you will, you know, benefit from many other ways in addition to reducing salt.
And an interesting book that's about to be published by an American cardiovascular scientist, and in it he claims, which I'd love to get your view on this, whether too little salt in our diet can lead to sugar cravings, which we know that there are problems associated with eating too much sugar. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, according to this author.
Listen, I saw that headline. I haven't had a chance to read the book yet. It's a complete surprise to me. I've never seen any evidence to support the fact that reducing your salt leads to sugar craving. So I've got an open mind. I will explore that, but I'm very sceptical.
Yeah, because, you don't want to have one problem alleviated to then lead to another one. But, it'll be interesting to get your follow-up on that. Look, it's really interesting research. Do you think that snapshot of the residents in Lithgow is a true reflection of the rest of the population in Australia?
Listen, it's as we say, and that's why we compared it with the Australian Health Survey. We're always very conscious that, you know, one population isn't necessarily representative of the whole country. But having compared the information from the Dartchester survey with the Australian Health Survey, we think it's probably a pretty clear reflection. And without a doubt, whichever way you look at it, the likelihood is that everybody's eating too much salt, and we all need to reduce our salt intake.
Just before we let you go, too, there is a question here which would be good to get your answer to. Asking on the text line, our bodies need salt, just not common salt, like iodized. This texter says they purposely try to eat salts that are pure, like Himalayan pink salt and sea salt flakes. Is there any evidence, Jackie, that that type of salt is better than iodized salt?
No.
In a word?
It's a little bit depressing when you hear this again and again, because whatever salt you're looking at, then it's the sodium in the salt that's bad for health. And whether it's Himalayan rock salt or normal sea salt or iodized salt, they all contain the same amount of sodium. So unfortunately, they're no better for health than any other salt.
Well, I'm glad you've clarified that. Salt is salt is salt.
That's right.
I mean, whether it's fancy or not.
But that's right. But the good news is there's so many other wonderfully tasting things out there, like lemon and herbs and chili and garlic, that really we don't need to be using so much salt.
All right. Well, look, it's really good to get your insight into it. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Associate Professor Jackie Webster there, researcher from the George Institute, looking at that that issue of salt in our diet.
ABC Radio.